الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب صلاة الاستسقاء باب صلاة الاستسقاء The chapter with regards to the prayer for rain The chapter with regards to the prayer for rain, Salatu al-Istisqa. And we see that this is again min babi ilafat al-shay'i ila sababihi. And you hear that this prayer is the prayer of al-Istisqa. So therefore the reason for it is to seek rain. And al-Istisqa, in the Arabic language, it means talab al-suqya. طلب السقيا, to ask for water. And what is intended here is to ask Allah to bring the rain and to remove the hardship and the difficulties of drought and dryness, and to bring relief by sending the rain from the sky. So this particular prayer is legislated whenever the people and the animals and the plants and the likes are experiencing extreme drought and there's great hardship because of lack of rain and lack of water. And whenever the rain ceases and does not come in its season and in its times, then the wells and likewise the rivers, they dry up, and also the plants, they wither up. And in turn as well, the animals, they become weak and even die off. And all of life and in this creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is in need of this provision, the provision of water. And it's from the amazing affairs and from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the issue of water. Allah, He mentioned, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ And we have made every living thing from water. Then will they not then believe? And we have made every living thing from water. And then will they not believe? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that the fact that He sends the water from the sky, and bringing life to the earth after it's barren and after it's withered and dead, this is from the signs of Allah, the signs of the greatness of Allah, and the power and the ability of Allah to do all things, and likewise His mercy and His kindness, and also His supreme and ultimate knowledge and wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ That from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He shows you the lightning. He shows you the lightning out of fear and hope, and He fearing to be stricken by the thunderbolts, and likewise out of hope for the blessing and the benefit of the rain, and He sends water from the sky, bringing life to the earth after it's been dead. And indeed, these are signs for people who comprehend and reflect and understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, He calls on the people to ponder over these affairs. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, tell me about the water. Do you not see the water that you drink? Tell me about the water that you drink. Are you the one who sends it from His stores, meaning from the clouds in the sky, or are we the ones who cause it to come? So no doubt, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sends the rain. And if Allah, He sends the rain, then no one can stop it. And whenever He sends the rain, He sends the rain in the most beautiful manner. And it comes in drops by the wisdom and the power and the command and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it goes to the land that He decrees and that He decides. And then from that land, the blessing of plants and crops comes and benefit for mankind. And some of that water is stored, and the people and the animals benefit from it. And from that, crops, they grow. And mankind and the animals, they benefit from it in this manner, whether they're in need of it. whether they're in need of it. وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ فَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. And this is from the amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sends the wind and it gathers up the clouds, like, and fertilizing the clouds, and He gathering the clouds in a manner until the water becomes stored in the clouds, and then they fall by the decree of Allah. The water falls from the clouds by the decree of Allah, and He gives us to drink from that. And we are not the owners of the stores or the provision of this water. So the fact that the water comes from the sky, this is an amazing affair. And the fact that we are in need of that water, this is an amazing affair. And no one can bring the water except for Allah. So this is from His signs. This is from His signs. And to realize that and to know that. To realize that and to know that. And sometimes the water, it will not come from the sky. Rather, there will be droughts, and the lands, they will dry up. And this is likewise from the wisdom of Allah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned the reason for this is because of the sins of the children of Adam. It's because of the sins of the children of Adam. So therefore, it's legislated. Whenever this occurs, for mankind to realize this affair and to repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness and to establish this prayer. This prayer is the sunnah. It's the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the prayer for rain, whenever the time comes and it's needed. And likewise, it's the sunnah of the previous prophets and messengers as well. Alayhimu salatu wassalam. Even from the first messenger, Nuh alayhi salam, whenever he called his people to believe in Allah and to worship Him and to seek His forgiveness, from the benefits of that is that if they do that, Allah will provide them rain and abundance. And Allah, he says about Nuh alayhi salam, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. That Nuh alayhi salam, he said to his people, seek the forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, He is the most forgiving. And if you do that, then He will send water from the sky. He will send rain from the sky in abundance for you. Meaning that it will be beneficial for you, that you are in need of any of this rain. And likewise, Hud alayhi salam, he had a similar call to his people. وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدُكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَى قُوَّتِكُمْ فَلَا تَتَوَلَّوا مُجْرِمِينَ. And Hud, he said alayhi salam, O my people, seek the forgiveness of your Lord and repent to Him. And indeed, if you do this, He will send down water for you from the sky. And He will send rain and provision for you from the sky in abundance. And He will increase your strength to this strength that you have. So do not turn away as criminals. And you do not turn away in disobedience and disbelief as criminals. And likewise, we know as well, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, with istasqa Musa liqawmihi, faqulna adrib bi'asaq al-hajar, fanfajarat minhu ithnata ashara ayna. Yani that Musa likewise, he called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for the rain, making supplication and calling on Allah azza wa jal, yani for the rain. So this is something that is legislated in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise in the previous legislations of those prophets and messengers that have preceded alayhim wassalatu wassalam. With regards to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sharia, it's considered sunnah mu'akkadah, that whenever there's a drought and whenever the rain is withheld and the crops, they dry up and the trees, they wither, and likewise the wells and the lakes and the rivers, they begin to dry up as well, that it's legislated to establish this prayer. That it's legislated to establish this prayer. And the imam or the ruler of the Islamic country and the likes, he is the one who will call for this, and he will appoint a day for the people to prepare for, and they will come out on that day and they will establish this prayer. So this chapter is with regards to this. This is a specific prayer established in a specific manner for seeking forgiveness from Allah azza wa jalla, and repenting to Him and asking Him to send the rain. Likewise, al-istisqa will occur in other ways as well, and has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, that he made istisqa on Jumu'ah without making a specific prayer, that he prayed in the Jumu'ah and in the khutbah, whenever he's making dua, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made an istisqa and he called on Allah and begged him to send the rain, to send the rain. So likewise, it's legislated in this manner as well. And another time it was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was just amongst his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they're speaking about the issue of rain. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began to supplicate and call on Allah for the rain. And the companions, they're all saying Ameen along with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it began to rain. And the rain it came. So therefore this al-istisqa will be in this manner like this. A person, he can by himself call on Allah whenever he's alone and ask for rain. And this is called al-istisqa. And likewise the imam and the khatib in the khutbah of Jumu'ah, whenever he's supplicating and calling on Allah, he's allowed for him likewise to supplicate and ask Allah for rain whenever there's a need for this. And also there is a specific prayer. There's a specific prayer called Salatu al-Istisqa. That is established in this manner to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the rain. And that is what this chapter is about. So the author, he says, عن عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم المازني رضي الله عنه أنه قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستسقي فتوجه إلى القبلة يدعو ثم صلى ركعتين جهر فيهما بالقراءة. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim al-Mazini, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja. Kharaja meaning he left out of his home and of his area. What is intended here, kharaja ay ila al-musalla. Kharaja ila al-musalla. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left out to the musalla. The same musalla as the musalla of al-Eid. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja yastasqi, yani kharaja ila musalla al-Eid. He went out to the same musalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he praised the Eid. And yastasqi, yani yas'al Allah azza wa jal inzal al-ghayth. Inzal al-ghayth, yani al-matar alladhi tazuru bihi shiddah. To send down, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the ghaith. To bring the ghaith. The ghaith is the beneficial rain. And the rain that brings about benefit and brings about crops. And by way of it, the hardship and difficulty is removed. And the drought is removed. And al-ghaith is from al-ghawth. And al-ghawth is any relief. Is relief. So sometimes the matar will come, but it will not bring relief. And this is even a greater calamity, that the rain will come, but the earth will not produce crops and bring benefit. It's been reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Laysat as-sanatu alla tumtaru." He said, it's not from the seasons of drought that the rain will not come. ولكن السنة أن تمطروا وتمطروا ولا تنبت الأرض شيئا. He said, but the seasons of drought is whenever you will receive rain and you will receive rain, but the earth will not produce any benefit for you whatsoever. So we see in these narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not asking for rain, rather he's asking for ghaith. Al-ghaith. So the difference is that maybe it will rain, but with the ghaith is the type of rain that removes the hardship and difficulty and brings relief. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yastasqi. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing, asking for the rain. Meaning the rain that will come and be a means and a mercy from Allah to remove the hardship and difficulty that they're facing from the drought. فَتَوَجَّهَا إِلَى الْقِبْلَةِ يَدْعُوا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he faced the Qibla and he began to supplicate. He faced the Qibla and began to supplicate and call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَوَّلَ رِدَاءَهُ. And he turned over his rida. The rida is the garment that a man he wears that covers his shoulder and this upper part of his body. The Arab, they used to have different types of garments they would wear. From the most famous of them is al-izar or rida. The izar would be a piece of a piece of cloth or material or a garment that's not it's not sewn. It's one piece, and they'll wrap it around their lower body from their waist down and tie it, and that will cover their lower body, and then they will have another garment the same way. It doesn't have sleeves. It doesn't have legs. It's just one piece, and then the bottom one, they wrap it around themselves and then tie it around their waist, and that's called al-izar. And then they will have one on their shoulders that goes around the top and around their chest and around their back, and that one is called al-rida. So this is from the garments that they would wear in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he himself he wore sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he would wear the qamis. And Salama radiyallahu anha, she mentioned that the most beloved garment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or his favorite garment, was the qamis, the one that is a one-piece garment that goes over the head and has sleeves, and it covers the whole body. And it covers the whole body. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, لِأَنَّهُ أَسْطَرُ لِبَدَنِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that because it covers his body in a better way, and it's more comfortable likewise. It's more comfortable likewise, and the awra is safe from being exposed. But here he's wearing a rida, an izar and a rida, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he changed the rida. حَوَّلَ رِدَاءَهُ. So that means he turned it inside out, to where the inside is now on the outside and the right side is now on the left side. In this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ صَلَّ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. And then he prayed two rak'ah. جَهَرَ فِيهِمَا بِالْقِرَاءَ. And he recited audibly in both of them. And he recited them out loud. He recited them out loud. So we see from the benefits of this narration that the author, he mentioned, number one is that the Salatul Istisqa is legislated. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed that. And it's mentioned that he did that more than one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would pray for rain more than one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, it's legislated to go out of the masjid and to go into the musalla of Al-Eid, the same place in the outskirts of the city where the musalla is. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this prayer. And the people of Nara, as they mentioned, because it's a display of the need and the display of the desire and the hope that they have for Allah, that they will all come out together and they will all go out to the musalla and they will all humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Him and call on Him and display of al-iftiqar wa al-istikana ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their dire need for Him and their strong hope in His mercy, and that they would humble themselves and call on Allah together in this manner. So it's legislated like this, to be prayed in congregation and to be prayed out in the musalla, although it's allowed to be prayed by oneself, and it could be prayed alone individually or it could be prayed in congregation. But what is best is that it's prayed and congregation. And from the wisdom of that is that many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may answer the supplication of one righteous man or one righteous woman, and there, based upon that, the rest of the people will receive mercy. So the fact that the people are gathered, maybe amongst them there are some righteous people that are close to Allah, and that Allah will respond to them whenever they call. So whenever the believers are gathered together, then it's hoped for the likes of these individuals to be present and that their supplication will be answered in this manner. As for if everyone were to supplicate by himself or to establish it alone or to not establish it, then this would be an individual effort. But whenever they're all gathered together and they're all supplicating together, then it's a greater opportunity for them and for them to be united and Allah to answer the righteous, and for all of them to benefit from that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he faced the Qibla. And this is something different than the rest of the khutbah. What is being referred to here is the khutbah of al-istisqa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out to the musalla, and then he faced the Qibla, and he supplicated to Allah azza wa jal. And then he turned the rida. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, that this is the khutbah. Likewise, he gave a khutbah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that khutbah he was supplicating and called on Allah and beg Allah for rain, and likewise remind the people to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to repent to Him and to turn away from the sins and to leave off disobedience and to return to Allah in obedience and in humbleness and humility, and to remember that they are in need of Allah, and that Allah, He does not need anything, and that Allah, He is strong and powerful, and that they are weak and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding the people to repent, and that the reason why the rain has been withheld is because of their sins and because of their disobedience and because of their foul and lowly actions and the likes like this. So this is from that khutbah. And then he prayed to Raka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he prayed to Raka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, after turning the rida, and then he prayed to Raka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he recited out loud in them. It has come in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and likewise Sunan Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, and the books of Hadith, yani from the Hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, authentically, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he came out, he said, فَصَلَّ الرَّكَعْتَيْنِ كَمَا يُصَلِّ فِي الْعِيدِ فَصَلَّ الرَّكَعْتَيْنِ كَمَا يُصَلِّ فِي الْعِيدِ, that whenever he prayed the Salat al-Istisqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed two rak'ah the same way he prayed Eid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here in our narration, the author, he mentioned, ثُمَّ صَلَّ الرَّكَعْتَيْنِ جَهَرَ فِيهِمَا بِالْقِرَاءَةِ, that he prayed two rak'ah and he recited out loud in both of them. The hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma clarifies how those two rak'ah were, the description of that, and that is, he prayed them the same way that he prayed Eid. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the description of Salat al-Istisqa is exactly like the description of Salat al-Eid, with the extra takbirat and everything, in the same manner. The same manner that the Eid prayer is prayed, meaning the Salat itself, not the khutbah, but the Salat itself. And even some people of knowledge, they mentioned, those who mentioned that you should make the takbir likewise in the khutbah, they mentioned the same thing here. Yani, but the people of knowledge mentioned with regards to the khutbah of al-Istisqa that it's only one khutbah. There's only one khutbah. And this is something that they agreed about. As for an Eid, and many of the scholars mentioned that it's two. There's two khutbah. But here in Salat al-Istisqa, there's one khutbah. As for the description of the prayer itself, then it's in the same manner of Salat al-Eid, with the extra takbirat and the recitation out loud, and going out to the same musalla in the same manner like this. Jahara fihima bil qira'ah. So what is apparent from this narration here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the khutbah of al-istisqa before the salah. But the majority of the scholars, they have the opinion and the position that the khutbah of al-istisqa is after the salah. But what has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that what is apparent here is that it was before the salah. But also there are other narrations that indicate that it was after the salah. So therefore, it has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in both circumstances. So it's allowed either way on Salat al-Istisqa for the Imam to make the khutbah before the prayer. This is legislated, and this narration here indicates that. And likewise, for him to pray first and then make the khutbah after the prayer, also this is legislated, and that's the opinion of the majority of the scholars. So in all cases, inshallah, there are evidences to support that, and both of them are allowed and permissible, and Allah knows best. In the khutbah, again, the people, they will be encouraged to repent to Allah and to remember their sins. And the verses in the book of Allah with regards to repentance will be mentioned, and the reminder of this affair and the favor and the blessing of Allah, and especially with regards to the rain, and to remind them that these affairs, they're occurring because of the sins of the people, and that they should sincerely repent to Allah and turn to Him. From those verses to recite is those mentioned previously in Surah Nuh and Surah Hud and the likes like this, and other verses with regards to seeking forgiveness and repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then also to supplicate and call on Allah. To supplicate and to call on Allah. With regards to the tahwil of the rida, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned his rida, his upper garment, inside out. The people of knowledge mentioned that the wisdom behind this is التفاؤل بتحويل الشدة إلى الرحى وبتحويل القحط إلى يعني نزول الغيث. يعني that this is having optimism and good hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التفاؤل is to be optimistic. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه الفعل. He used to like and to be optimistic, and he used to love to hear the good words that have good meanings and that bring about good hope in the life like this. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he liked, and that he preferred to be optimistic. So the fact that he changed the garment in this manner, turning it inside out in this particular prayer, is a sign of optimism that Allah, He will change the circumstances from being a drought to sending the beneficial rain, and from the hardship and difficulty that they're facing to bringing about ease. So this is the general benefit that the majority of the people of knowledge mention with regards to this. But Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another benefit. He mentioned another benefit along with this one, and it's with regards to the inner garments that must be changed. Because this is with regards to the changing the outer garment. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his rida, he turned it inside out, which is the outer garment. But Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a beautiful benefit with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garments of taqwa, this is better and this is best. So also from the wisdom of that is to turn and the inner garment inside one's soul, and to turn one's heart away from disobedience and from sins to obedience and compliance to the command of Allah. To turn away from heedlessness and forgetfulness and negligence to being aware and to being fearful and mindful of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's an indication of that likewise. So the outward garment is changed, hoping for the change of the conditions outwardly, and likewise the inward garment is changed as well, hoping to return to obedience and to return to piety and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to leave off heedlessness and forgetfulness, and to leave off sins and disobedience. After this, the author, he mentioned Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan dakhala al-masjida yawma jumu'ah min babin kana nahwa dar al-qadha wa rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qa'imun yakhtub. The author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that a man, he entered the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah, yani one of the days on the day of Jumu'ah, and he entered through the door which is in the direction of dar al-qadha. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's standing there giving the khutbah. He's standing there sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the khutbah. Dar al-Qadha, the home of Qadha, this is in reference to the home of Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu. And whenever he died, he had a debt. That he left behind. He was the Khalifa. He was the Khalifa radiyallahu anhu, but whenever he died in debt. And so therefore this home that he had, which was near the masjid, it was sold. It was sold in order to pay off his debt. It was sold to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, and it became known as Dar al-Qadha. Yani Qadha Dain Umar radiyallahu anhu. It was for repaying. This house was sold to pay back the debt of Umar radiyallahu anhu. So this house was well known, and it became known like this, Dar al-Qadha. So the man, he entered the masjid from this direction, while the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's standing on the minbar giving the khutbah. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَائِمًا ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَلَكَتِ الْأَمْوَالُ وَانْقَطَعَتِ السُّبُلُ فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ يُغِثْنَا. So the man, he faced the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there. And then he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the wealth and the property has been destroyed and the pathways have been cut off. Harakat al-amwal yani al-mawashi wal-zuru', the crops and the camels and the cattle and the roadways and the pathways have been cut off. فَدُعُوا اللَّهَ يُغِثْنَا. So therefore call on Allah to relieve us and to send the rain. And meaning there was a great drought to the extent that there is no crops and the animals become weak and even some of them are dying. This is what he means. هَلَكَتِ الْأَمْوَالِ. Yani that the crops, they have dried up and the animals, they have become weak, and the camels likewise, they have become weak, and even some of them maybe have died, and the pathways also are cut off, meaning they do not have the animals, and they're not able to move through the land, the ways of traveling and the ways of going about through the land. And no doubt these pathways are very beneficial for the people to be able to move through the roads and through the avenues and through the streets and the likes freely and in a good manner and as they like. This is something that's very beneficial. Whenever they're cut off, then mankind experiences great hardship. Any of the pathways and the likes like this, and having that ability to travel and to make commerce and to buy and to trade and to sell and to go through the lands as one pleases to make a living and to earn a livelihood, this is a great benefit. So here the case is that the drought had affected them to the extent they're not able to do this anymore. They're not able to do this anymore because of the crops that have dried up and withered, and because the weakness of the animals and the likes like this. So the pathways are cut off. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ يُغِثْنَا. So therefore I supplicate and call to Allah to relieve us. And it's يُغِثْنَا, يعني to send the غَيْث, which is the rain that is a means to remove the hardship and the difficulty. So he says, رضي الله عنه قال فرفع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يديه ثم قال اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا. And then the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he raised his hands and he said, oh Allah, اللهم أغثنا, oh Allah, send us the غيث, send us أغثنا, يعني أنزل علينا الغيث. أنزل علينا الغيث. Again, الغيث is from الغوث. الغوث is to have relief. What is استغاثة is to seek relief. So here he's seeking relief, but specifically with rain, asking for Allah to send the rain that will be a means to bring relief and to bring ease and to remove the hardship and difficulty that they're going through. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is in Yawmul Jumu'ah, and he raised his hands now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he prayed for rain. Allahumma. We've taken this before. Allahumma is actually originally Ya Allah. Ya Allah. And Harfu Nida is deleted. And the meem is brought in its place. But it's put in the end. Tayammunan wa tabarrukan bi albadi bismillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meem comes in the end instead of the beginning. And it has the same meaning. Allahumma means Ya Allah. Oh Allah. But to begin with the name of Allah first and foremost before anything else, this is the wisdom of removing the ya and putting the meem in the end. So to seek the blessing of beginning with the name of Allah and nothing else first. Likewise, there's another benefit. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned rahimahullah about the meem, and that the meem that comes on the end, many times it's referring to the plural meemul jama', like kum wa hum, kitabu kum wa kitabu hum. The meem here is referring to al-jama, to plural. So he said, rahimahullah, so it's as if the person who's calling on Allah has gathered his jama'a qalbahu ala dhikri Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa raja'i thawabihi wa ijabata du'aihi Allahumma. Like at this time, he's calling on Allah, gathering his heart in sincerity and in humbleness and focusing in this supplication in this manner. So this is the wisdom of that. Allahumma aghifna. Oh Allah, relieve us by sending the rain. He mentioned it three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a benefit that one, he will supplicate, and he will supplicate more than one time, and he will ask over and over. Yulihu fi as-su'al. And he will be consistent, and he will over and over and over calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال أنس أنس يسير رضي الله عنه فلا والله ما نرى في السماء من سحاب ولا قزعة وما بيننا وبين سلع من بيت ولا دار قال فطلعت من ورائه سحابة مثل الترس فلما توسطت السماء انتشرت ثم أمطرت قال فلا والله ما رأينا الشمس سبتا. أنس رضي الله عنه, the narrator of this event, he says, no, I swear by Allah that we did not see at this time we did not see not one cloud in the sky, not even a piece of a cloud. وَلَا قَزْعَةً يعني وَلَا قِطْعَةً مِنْ السَّحَابِ, not even a piece of a cloud. No clouds, and not even a portion or a part of the cloud do we see it in the sky. And there is nothing between us and between the mountain of Sala. Sala is a mountain that's near the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no mountain, there's nothing in the sky, there's no homes in the way, meaning they can see the sky clearly. There's nothing blocking their view. There's nothing blocking their view. And then suddenly from behind that mountain, behind Sada, a cloud came. A cloud appeared in the sky. And he mentioned Mithru, a torus is a shield, a small round shield that you protect yourself in the battles. So there was a small cloud that came, a round cloud looking like a shield in this manner. And then it passed over the top of the mountain, and then it spread throughout the sky, and then it rained. And then it began to rain greatly. And he said, I swear by Allah, we did not see the sun septen. Ma ra'ayna shamsa septen. Septen. A sept is? A sept is? Yani this is Yom al-Jumu'ah. Huh? As Yom al-Sept is, it means Saturday, huh? But what is intended here is for a week. Ma ra'ayna shamsa septen. Yani usbu'an. Usbu'an. So you say it like this. Sometimes the usbu' is referred to sept. Also referred to Jumu'ah. Somebody would say it like that. Ma ra'aytuhu Jumu'ah. Mundu Jumu'ah. Yani mundu usbu'ah. منذ أسبوع أو سبت ما رأيته سبتا أو ما رأيته جمعة like this. What is referred to here? Not the day itself, but rather referring to a week. This is from the speech or the Arabic language and their expressions. So he says, فلا والله ما رأينا الشمس سبتا. I swear we did not see the sun for a week. That's what this means here. We did not see the sun for a week, meaning that it continued to rain daily. It continued to rain daily for a week. قال أنس رضي الله عنه ثم دخل رجل من ذلك الباب في الجمعة المقبلة. And then a man entered from the same door on the next Jumu'ah. On the next Jumu'ah. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قائم يخطب. And the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is standing there again giving the sermon of Jumu'ah. فاستقبله قائما. So the man faced the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's standing. فقال يا رسول الله هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فدعوا الله يمسكها عنا. So then this time he says, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل. The same request, but only for a different reason now. The property has been destroyed and the pathways have been cut off, meaning now the crops have been drowned out and the animals likewise have been drowned out and the pathways are flooded. And we're not able to move through the land again in the same manner. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ يُمْسِكْهَا عَنَّا. So therefore, supplicate and call to Allah to cause the rain to stop, to make the rain stop coming on us, to make the rain stop falling on us in this manner. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responds. فَرَفَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَدَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ حَوَالَيْنَا وَلَا عَلَيْنَا اللهم على الأكام والذراب وبطون الأودية ومنابت الشجر. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his noble hands again, and then he said, "Oh Allah, around us and not on us. Oh Allah, and he send the rain around us and not on us, and send, oh Allah, send the rain to al akam wal dhirab. Al akam is the plural of al akama, wal dhirab the plural of al dharib. The akam are the elevated places any throughout the land." And the dhirab are the small mountains. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Allah, "Oh Allah, send the rain around us and not on us. Send the rain to the elevated lands and to the small mountains that are around us and to the bellies of the valleys. Wa bultun al awdiya, wa manabit al shajar, and the places where the trees are growing and the likes." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't ask for the rain to stop. Rather, he asked for the rain to go to other places around them that would be beneficial for the people likewise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas, he says, قَالَ فَأَقْلَعَتْ وَخَرَجْنَا نَمْشِي فِي الشَّمْسِ. So at that moment, the rain had stopped. At that moment, the rain had stopped and we left out of Jumu'ah walking in the sun. Allahu Akbar. Walking in the sun in this manner. The author, he says, قَالَ الشَّرِيكِ. Shariq is one of the narrators. Abu Abdullah Shariq ibn Abi Namr al-Madani, he's from the Tabi'een. He says, فَسَعَلْتُ أَنَسْ بِنِ مَالِكٍ أَهُوَ الرَّجُلُ الْأَوَّلُ قَالَ لَا أَدْرِي الذِّرَابُ وَالْجِبَالُ الصِّغَارُ. So Shariq from the Tabi'een, he says, I asked Anas radiallahu anhu, was he the same man? Was he the first man? Many of the men who came the second week, was he the first man who came the first week? And Anas, he said, I do not know. I do not know. So the author, he mentioned al-dhirab. This word al-dhirab, it means al-jibal al-sigar, the small mountains. So we see from the benefits of this narration the permissibility of making al-istisqa on the day of Jumu'ah, and that it's not an obligation to have a special prayer for al-istisqa. And this is from the Sunnah likewise. So the previous narration clarified that the prayer of al-istisqa, and that there's a specific prayer for that, and it will be in the time of Eid, in the place of Eid, and in the manner of Eid, and the likes. But also, it's legislated from the Sunnah as well, to make al-istisqa and to call on Allah and ask Him for rain and relief by sending the rain in the khutbah of Jumu'ah, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did here while he's standing on the minbar. So this is legislated likewise. And also we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this particular instance, he raised his hands. And it has come also from the hadith of Anas in Sahih Bukhari, that he said, وَرَفَعَ النَّاسُ أَيْدِيَهُمْ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَدْعُونَ, that the people also, they raised their hands. Along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicating, meaning saying Ameen to the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that's specific to du'a al-istisqa. Whenever the khatib, he makes du'a for rain specifically, he will raise his hands on the Jumu'ah. And the people, they will raise their hands likewise. Even it's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at one time, he raised his hands to the extent that he's reaching his, almost like his hands are upside down, backwards like this, because of how much he would raise his hands. The people of Najd, they mentioned that the Imam supplicating, he will raise his hands like this, and he will raise them in a great manner, and he indicating the great need and desire and hope and the mercy of Allah, and that He will respond. But as for the people, they will not do that, and Allah knows best. They'll just raise their hands normally. So with regards to the Jumu'ah, it's not legislated for the Imam to raise his hand in supplication, nor for the people sitting and attending. This is not from the Sunnah. Rather, there were some khulafa who did that in the time of some of the companions, and they reprimanded him. And mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never raised his hands like that in supplication on the day of Jumu'ah. So therefore, whenever the Imam, he makes du'a on Jumu'ah, he will not raise his hands. And this is not from the Sunnah. And the people likewise attending, they will not raise their hands either. This is not from the Sunnah. But as for the case, whenever the Imam on Jumu'ah, he supplicates for rain specifically, and he starts to call on Allah and ask Him to send the rain and the relief that comes with the rain, at this time they will raise their hands. And this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we see in this narration that it's allowed for the people to speak to the Imam whenever it's needed. And likewise for the Imam to speak to the people if it is needed. And speaking to each other in the khutbah is not allowed. But as for speaking to the Imam, whenever there's a need for that, then this is allowed. And likewise for the Imam to speak to the people, the khatib, to speak to the people likewise, this is also allowed. Also, we see from the benefits of this, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has the ability to do all things, and that He is the one who sends the rain from the sky, and that He is the one who stops it whenever it comes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He sends it by His wisdom and His supreme knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to His mercy, and His wisdom. And also we see the fact that it's a sign of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he called and it was answered immediately, and it had not been raining, and there was a drought, and the likes like this. And as soon as he called on Allah azza wa jalla, the rain, it came immediately, and the clouds, they formed in the sky, and it poured. And it poured for a week in this manner. And then likewise, whenever he supplicated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the rain to stop, the clouds, they were gone. And they were removed by the permission of Allah. Indicating again that he is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also from the benefits of this is that the people, they do not realize many times the blessings and the favors and the good that they have until it's stripped from them. So a person, he will not realize the favor and the blessing of rain and the likes like this until Allah he withholds the rain, until there's a drought and the circumstances that change. And similarly, likewise, what we have experienced in recent time, that we do not realize the great blessing that we have and the freedom to go about through the markets and through the lands and to the masajid and the likes like this freely and in safety and security. And then Allah, He changed that and He stripped that from us. And it's to realize, so that we will realize that this is a blessing and a favor, and that we repent to Allah and show thanks. So this is the case. Many times a person, he does not realize the great bounties and favors that he's living in until they're taken from him. And if they're taken from him, likewise, they cannot be returned except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this narration, likewise, we see in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he supplicated with al-istisqa. Al-istisqa is seeking the ghayth, seeking the rain, the beneficial rain. And in the end of the narration, he's making al-istisha. Al-istisha, making supplication for the rain to stop and for the clear skies to come. So likewise, this is legislated as well. If the rains become severe and they become torrential and they become harmful and the likes like this, also it's legislated to call on Allah and to ask Him to stop the rain and to bring the clear skies and then the good and peaceful days. Also, we see that in this narration is an indication that the imam, he will stand whenever he gives the khutbah. He will stand whenever he gives the khutbah on Jumu'ah. That the khutbah is يعني يكون تكون الخطبة عن القيام. He will be standing whenever he makes the khutbah. Whenever he makes the khutbah. So after this, the author he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala babu salat al khawf, babu salati al khawf, the chapter of the prayer of fear. And this is the last chapter in the book of Salah. Inshallah, we take that in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.